الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, as you may be aware that since yesterday I've been talking about the عشر من الفطرة, the 10 natural ways, or the 10 natural things, 10 things which are considered to be from the natural way for a Muslim. It's from the norm, and it's fitrah, it's the nature of a human being, as well as a Muslim, as well as a human being. It should be the nature. And I mentioned yesterday that because I thought, I was thinking what to talk about, and I said that, you know, the last 10 days of Ramadan, عشر الأخير, and عشر means 10 in Arabic, so I thought, let me just click my mind that عشر من الفطرة, 10 from فطرة, and it's important, and there's so many things that to be mentioned, but this is just one of the things. So, and I quoted a hadith, just to recap what I said yesterday, I quoted a hadith, famous hadith, سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها, the full hadith is, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, عشر من الفطرة, قص الشارب وإعفاء اللحية والسواك واستنشاق الماء وقص الأظفار وغسل البراجم ونتف الإبط وحلق العانة وانتقاص الماء. سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها narrates that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said there are 10 things from fitra, from the natural way. The trimming or the clipping of the mustache, the lengthening of the beard, using of the siwak, rinsing of the nose with water, clipping of the nails, washing of the joints, removing of underarm hair, removing and shaving of pubic hair. In intiqas al-ma, the ninth one is performing istinja, cleaning yourself after relieving yourself when you go to the toilet. You may be wondering, there are only 9 in here. Yeah, the hadith carries on saying that Mus'ab, qala Mus'ab, one of the narrators, his name is Mus'ab, he says that وَنَسِيتُ الْعَاشِرَةَ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ الْمَضْمَضَةَ, that I've forgotten the 10th one, except that it seems most likely that it was مَضْمَضَة. مَضْمَضَة means gargling of the mouth. When you gargle, you know, when we gargle when we perform ablution and wudu. So rinsing of the nose and gargling of the mouth. فَرَوَاهُ مُسْلِمُ وَأَبُو دَاوُدْ, hadith narrated by Imam Muslim in his book As-Sahih, in the chapter of purity, Babu Khisal al-Fitrah. The hadith number is 261, Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan as well. Hadith number 53, Imam al-Tirmidhi in his book As-Sunan as well. Hadith number 2757, Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan as well. Hadith number 9286, Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan as well. Hadith number 293, and Imam Ahmad in his Musnad as well, and many other people have narrated this, the exact wording of this hadith. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned similar type of hadith, but not with the exact wording. So the full hadith is, and عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر من الفطرة قص الشارب وإعفاء اللحية والسواك واستنشاق الماء وقص الأظفار وغسل البراجم ونتف الإبط وحلق العانة وانتقاص الماء. These are the 10 things of purity, 10 things of fitra, and I'm going to talk about these 10 things inshallah. Now, as you know, brothers and sisters, Islam is a, you know, religion which teaches everything. I've been talking about this for the past few days. Out of those things, purity is very important. Islam has laid a lot of importance, a lot of significance upon purity, about cleanliness, about being clean, about remaining clean, about staying clean, about staying pure. This is why we have so many rules with regards to istinja. When you go to the toilet, I mean, that's the 10th thing which is coming, so I'll discuss that then. About ghusl, that when you need to have an obligatory ritual bath, you must have it. Every part of your body must be cleaned. You can't even have one, you know, hair which is left dry, unless otherwise your ghusl will not be fulfilled and will not be completed, and your salah will not be valid. After a woman comes out from her menstruation, she must take an obligatory ritual bath. And there are so many rulings like that about using water when you go to the toilet, because Islam teaches purity. In the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that At-tahuru nisful iman, and in another riwayah, shatrul iman. The meaning of both is same, that purity is half of iman. It's half of all our deen, all our Islam and iman. At-tahuru shatrul iman. Purity is half of faith. Just imagine, half of faith. And other riwayah, shatrul iman, which means part of faith, which is the same similar type of meaning. So there's so much importance given in Islam about staying pure. It's very important. This is also neglected many times by ourselves, by us, that we don't stay clean and pure. Remember, this also has an aspect of social, mu'ashara, social life. Because if I stay clean and pure, if a person stays clean and pure, then it's good for that person as well, but it's good for the people around you as well. So it's also not harming, this takes us back to what I've been talking about, not harming fellow people around you, especially Muslims. This is why when I mentioned this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever eats onions or anything which has a bad fragrance to it, like somebody just had a cigarette, smoked it, and straight before iftar and came into the masjid and maghrib salah, Allahu Akbar, and a person next to you, I mean, I've had this experience a lot of times, that I've been standing next to a person who's just had a real long, you know, cigarette or a pipe, I don't know what he's been smoking, but and suddenly, you know, you can't even pray your salah. It's so difficult. You can't pray a salah, and it's worse for you to stand next to that person. I mean, we all know about passive smoking, but even after smoking, that smell, it's difficult. I'm not just smoking somebody that just eaten like nice samosas and I don't know what they've pastries and what they've had, and suddenly they've just, without rinsing, cleaning, brushing the teeth, they've come into the masjid, Allahu Akbar, into the masjid, which is wrong. So this has the aspect of not harming other people. If I'm smelling, if I've got sweat and my whole body smells, then other people around me are going to be harmed. If I've got bad odor in my mouth, I mean, if somebody's got a problem, then try to rectify it, but if they can't, if there's an extreme problem, then okay, that's excusable. But if there's not a problem and I've got bad odor in my mouth, and I'm sitting next to somebody, right next to somebody's face, and I'm talking, and that's wrong, really, and it harms people. If I'm going to wear smelly socks and going to the masjid, and somebody's going in sajda, and you know, when they go into sajda, they'll be smelling my smelly socks rather than the carpet. So this gives the belief, it harms other people. This is one reason why Islam has put a lot of importance on purity on tahara. One reason is for your own self as well, that a person, a Muslim, brother or a sister, male or a female, woman or a man, should attempt to remain clean, pure at all times. It's very important, very important. And as it has just as your physical aspect is clean, ulama have stated that if you're physically clean and pure, then this has an effect to your spiritual aspect. It will have an effect of you cleaning yourself spiritually. It has an effect, like names have an effect on a person. The name you keep to a person, that has an effect on his actions, on his body, on his physical actions. So similarly, this physical cleanliness and purity will have effect on your heart as well. So it's for your own benefit as well as people around you. Do not harm other people in any way, shape or form. So one of that is also, do not harm them by staying dirty, by staying filthy, by staying in a way that the body smells and there's bad odor on the body and people are being affected with that. So therefore, brothers and sisters, Islam puts a lot of emphasis on purity. Purity is so much emphasized. Just imagine, look at this hadith. At-tuhuru nisful iman. Purity is part or half of faith of iman. Subhanallah, it's so amazing. And I just remember this incident. I think I must have heard this from one of my teachers. I think Mufti Taqi Uthmani, or from him directly, or from his books, one of his books which I read, or I'm not too sure. I can't recall where or the reference of this. But anyway, this incident was mentioned that there was this foreign brother who came to study in England, to study in a university, study at a university some secular studies. He was taking a degree in some something, law or whatever. So he came to study, and when he came to study at the university, of course he's going to stay in the hostel. I mean, he's a brother from some Muslim country, a practicing Muslim brother, and he was staying in a hostel. Now when he was staying in a hostel, he had other people also renting that hostel out with him. So there were four of them. Three of them, unfortunately for him, I mean, he was in a place where there were not a lot of Muslims, so there were three non-Muslims with him in the same apartment or the hostel where they were renting it out together. They were paying and sharing for the rent. So there were four of them, and they started staying there. All four, you know, males, one Muslim brother and three non-Muslims. Now when they were staying there, they had to, they, you know, pay for the expenses of the bills and everything. And also they thought that they hired an old lady to wash and clean their clothes. I mean, they could go to the laundry, but it's going to be a bit costly. So they hired the services of an old lady that she washes their clothes, irons them, etc., whatever. So this lady, they hired her services, and she started working for them, you know, washing their clothes and cleaning them and ironing them. After a few weeks, this old lady once goes to the, well, says to the Muslim brother, said that, don't you trust me? He said, why? She said that, it seems that you don't trust me. You think just because, you know, you know I'm not a Muslim or something, you don't trust me, or you think bad of me, or do you have some problems in that washing? He said, of course not, there's nothing wrong whatsoever. None of us have said anything, and none of us have realized that you don't wash the clothes properly or anything like that. We're perfectly happy, there's not a problem. She says, no, the other three, I don't think there's a problem. But there's a problem, I think, with you, because why? Because when I get the clothes of all four of you, then the other three of the students, they give them, because they trust me completely, fully, they give me their clothes just as they are. You know, they don't do anything with the clothes. But when you give me your clothes, your trousers and your shirt and your whatever you're wearing, you give it to me, you wash it first and then give it to me. Because, you know, and then, because you don't trust that I don't wash it completely. He said, of course not, I never do that. I take my clothes off and I give it to you straight away. When it's time for washing, I give you my clothes. She said, no, it seems that you clean it first because you don't trust my cleaning, and then you just give it to me for a second round of washing. He said, no, definitely not. He said, look, these are all my clothes which I've just taken out and taken off for and ready for washing. But this is how our clothes are. And then he explained to the old lady that this is, I mean, in our religion, not in our culture, in our religion, in our deen, in the teachings of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what he teaches us. This is how he used to remain clean. And this is, he teaches us things so basic, such as, like Sayyiduna Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions, he said that some non-Muslims came to him and said to him that لَقَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَةِ, that your Prophet teaches you everything, so much so that he teaches you things so basic as when you go to the toilet, when you go to the washroom, when you relieve yourself, you how to clean yourself. He said, Ajal, why not? He does. He told us that when we go to the toilet, we should not face in the direction in the Qibla, or our back should not be turned in the direction of the Qibla. And when we clean ourselves after relieving ourselves, how do we clean ourselves? About using stones and water and things like that. So this person was amazed. So anyway, so that woman, after hearing this from the Muslim student, from a foreign Muslim country who came to study in London, she was absolutely amazed, and she said, is this how how much cleanliness in Islam there is. And then he told her about the five times wudu during the day, and about the ghusl, about tayammum, and about the rest of the issues, about how we must make sure that drops of urine are cleaned, and you know, from the body, especially from a man. If even one drop of urine is in the trousers, then his salah becomes invalid, his prayer becomes invalid. She was so amazed. And as far as I remember, that further along, after that, she, becoming amazed and affected by this, she accepted Islam and came into the fold of Islam. Subhanallah. Just imagine. So this is Islam, this is purity, this is Tahara. Every chapter of every book of fiqh in Islamic jurisprudence, whether it's the Hanafi school of thought, whether it's the Shafi'i school of thought, whether it's the Hanbali school of thought, or whether it's the Maliki school of thought, you pick up any book from any of the four schools of thought, pick up any book, the first chapter you'll see Kitab al-Tahara, the chapter of purity. You pick up hadith books as well. Normally, generally, the books, generally, not all of them, but generally, they start from Kitab al-Tahara, purity, about how to go, you know, how to wash yourself when you go to the toilet, how istibra for a man is absolutely necessary. I'm going to talk about this in the last, when we come to the last of the you know, 10 things. Because when I go to Sinja, I'll talk about it, inshallah. How istibra is necessary for a man, which is making sure that each and every drop has come out from his body when he urinates. And then they talk about tayammum, and about a ghusl, taking a ritual obligatory bath, and about wudu, ablution, and rest of the things about menstruation, so much details for females, about menstruation, about postnatal bleeding, which is nifas, and about istihaba, which is the chronic vaginal, you know, bleeding, continuous bleeding, and all of that. There's so much details mentioned. So this is very important. Islam has a lot of importance and gives a lot of importance on purity. And so anyway, so this hadith, coming back to this hadith, as I was saying, that the Prophet ﷺ said that 10 things are from fitrah. 10 things are from fitrah. Fitrah means the nature. What does that mean? It's the nature on which a human being, especially a Muslim, was created upon. Upon which a Muslim was created. This is the meaning of al-fitrah. Many ulama have stated that the meaning of fitrah is sunanul anbiya. These 10 things are the ways, the sunnahs and the ways of all the prophets, all of them, from Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, through all of them, Sayyiduna Nuh, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and all of them, to Sayyiduna Isa and our beloved Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa salam. So this is the meaning of fitrah. And all the prophets, so one, some ulama have stated the meaning of fitrah is that it's the sunnah and the ways of all the prophets. And number two, they say that this is a fitrah upon which a human being was created. Meaning this is the natural thing for a human being. This is the norm. Fitrat Allah alladhi fatara an-nasa alayha. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. Every newborn baby, every child that is born on fitrah. The meaning down the fitrah is that he is born on Islam. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّذَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَفِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَجِّسَانِهِ. His parents are the ones who make him into a Christian, Jew, or a fire worshipper. He is born as a Muslim. So the fitrah, Islam is fitrah as well. This is the natural way. It's the norm for a human being. This is the natural thing for a human being. So just as Islam is natural, these 10 things in the hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ashrun min al-fitrah, 10 things are from fitrah. And I'm going to talk about these 10 things inshallah from tomorrow onwards. 10 things from fitrah. I'll just go over these again and then inshallah I'm going to conclude, because iftar is coming close and I need to go as well. So, ashrun min al-fitrah, 10 things are from fitrah. Qassu sharibi. Number one, shaving of the moustache. I'm going to go into details about clipping, trimming for a moustache, for a man, especially if this is for a male. But I will talk about a few issues about, say, facial hair for women. And remember, one thing I don't want to do on this program is go into fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence and Muslim aside. Is this jaiz? This is not jaiz? Is this permissible? That permissible? Cutting hair? This? That? I don't want to go into that. I do that throughout the year, so I want to really take a break from that. But And I don't think it's really good to discuss that on the radio. Yes, if somebody has a question, then inshallah, at the end, when I do go offline, when I go and when, inshallah, you can, there's a phone here, which is the offline number. I don't remember the number. It's 221 and then something, yes, I can't remember. But if you don't understand something or somebody wants to ask something, then inshallah, no problem. You can ask me on the offline number. But not, I'm not going to discuss this on the radio because this is general and I don't want to go into fiqh issues on the radio. But there are certain things. So the first thing, qassu sharib, trimming of the mustache, i'fa'u al-lihyati, lengthening of the beard, I'm going to talk about that as well. Number three, as-siwaku, using of the siwak and miswak. Istinshaqu al-ma, rinsing of the nose. Qassu al-adhfari, and trimming, clipping of the nose. Wa ghaslu al-barajimi, and washing of the joints. Wa natfu al-ibti, and trimming underarm hair, and making sure that the underarm hair have been removed. وحلق العانتي, shaving, removing pubic hair. وانتقاص الماء, and استنجاء, cleaning yourself after going to the toilet and going to the washroom. Allah, inshallah, I'm just going to end with this now because there's only 1 or 2 minutes left. Jazakallahu khair for listening, and inshallah, prepare for iftar and make dua. There's a few minutes left, so inshallah, you can make dua. Make dua for everybody, all the Muslim brothers and sisters everywhere, and make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all the difficulties from the Muslim ummah. Inshallah, make dua for me if you can, if you remember. I'm going to end with this, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan wa ta'ala wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.